Hi, good to be here again. I'm going to take this off. I've got a team with me this morning. They're actually a part of our staff for Igniting Hope. How do you get this off?
It's a workout.
Yes. And I asked them to be praying about this church. You know, I really feel like this is good soil. I don't know, you know, my spirit is so convinced that you guys are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And you're going to make a big impact, and this place is going to be too small soon. I'm not just saying that. I really believe that. I believe there's a call on this place. So I asked them to pray and see if they got any words for anybody or for the whole church. And who wants to go first? Oh, let me introduce. This is Ash, not Ashley. It's actually Ash. And this is Michelle.
Hi. So the first thing I want to share is actually a word for the room that I was feeling. And I felt like the Lord said that this next season for you is going to be a season full of His glory. And I feel like there's going to be a significant increase of His glory in your meetings. I feel like it's going to come very quickly at the beginning and just continue to fill up. And I heard this verse over you guys. This is in Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seating on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet. And with 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And I felt like God said that He is actually going to manifest His glory here in a really unique way. I feel like there's something about it being very concentrated in this place as well. I think that there are moments where you can tell that it's spread out, like over a city, and there are like more concentrated places. And I feel like this is one of those specific deposits of His glory. And I think that you're going to start seeing physical manifestations of His glory in the room as well. And I think it's going to be, I think that people who have a seeing gift will see it first, but I think it's actually going to be available to every single person. And I just kept hearing eyes to see, ears to hear over and over. And I feel like there are actually people in here who are going to start seeing it before it happens. And then it's going to become like a corporate eye opener. And you guys are all just going to start seeing these profound manifestations of His glory in the room. It feels really weighty and really significant. Yeah.
So good. Okay. I love that, because during worship, I heard over the room, "You have been asking," and the answer is yes. So He's saying yes to more of His glory. I have a word for you, Phil, and for Lisa. Yeah. So Phil, over you, I heard that you are a banner carrier and that you create the pathway with praise. And I saw you carrying this banner, and on it, it said goodness. And firstly, I heard the Lord say His banner over you is love. And what you've cultivated in the secret place and the love that you have with Him is so beautiful, and what that's created. And I saw you walking and creating this pathway with this banner of goodness. And as you went, it was like it created a channel for people to go in and follow. And I really believe that over this next year, you're going to see such an increased manifestation of the goodness of God in and through your life, and that it's actually overflowing and affecting your own family and then your church family. And that this is really a season to taste and see the goodness of God. And the more. So we just bless you to step into increased manifestation of His goodness. And yeah, you are such a good son, and He's so proud of you and so pleased. You have done such a great job. You steward your heart and your family and church so well. Yeah. So we just bless you and honor you for what you've been doing. Yeah. and then Lisa, over you, I saw this picture of Elastigirl, right, from The Incredibles? Elastigirl, yeah. So you're a superhero. No, yeah. But really, I felt like God was firstly showing me that you are such a phenomenal woman with so many giftings in you, and that there's such a unique and impactful call on your life. And I saw your arms stretching out, and as you were stretching, they were growing further and further. And I believe this is a season of you stepping into greater influence and increase in your realm of influence, and also in your giftings and manifestations. And it was like your arms just kept going, and it covered so many people, and you brought them close, not only to your heart, but to the heart of the Father, because you're so in sync with His heart. And know as well that your words and your hands and your heart bring, like, carry the oil of healing. And I believe that's for physical healing, but also emotional healing, and that you really reconnect people to the heart of the Father. And I saw that increasing as well, and just that revelation of your family, like the Incredibles, it's a family ordeal. It's not just the one, and that for each of your children, God's given them a very specific gifting and a unique, impactful call in their lives, and that in this season, you're going to start seeing and recognizing that to a greater measure, and they're going to start learning how to work with the gifts, and it's becoming a family affair as you bring light into the darkest places. So we just bless you and your family. We speak increase over you, and we just say yes and amen to the goodness of God over your lives. Yeah.
I also had a couple individual words. I don't know if either of you are in here. First, it was for the girl in the white shirt who was singing. Is she in here? Katie. She had her hair up and she was wearing a white shirt. Okay. And what about the gentleman who was playing bass? Are you in here? Oh, great. What's your name? Glenn. Okay, so cool. So as you were playing, do you know who Don Potter is? Don Potter? That's totally fine if you don't know. So he is like, he's a real father in music, and he's been around for a really long time and has like released this really profound stuff. And he has this really beautiful teaching about the sound of heaven and about how it impacts things. And I actually felt something similar like land on you while you were playing as Don Potter. And I felt like this... I felt like there's a gift on your life that's like reaching in creativity and music, and I feel like you actually offer a covering to people around you. And I felt like the Lord said that he's going to be showing you new sounds in music, but I also felt like he's actually said that he's releasing sounds like that David found, and these like old lost melodies that he's actually releasing back to you. And I felt like there's this like significant thing that you're about to step into of covering younger people as they're discovering music. It's like this fathering covering thing, and I feel like people are going to start coming under you, and there's just going to be this like profound breaking into the sound of heaven over the city, and over like it feels like it's very wide reaching. It's like over the city, over the state, over the country. And I feel like people are just going to kind of flock to you. There's like this, I don't know if you actually teach music practically, but I feel like there's this like this thing about people actually coming to you like with hunger, like, oh, you're a father, I want you to teach me, what are you discovering? And I think that I feel like this next season is going to be full of a lot of leadership for you and a lot of like running and going forward. It feels like a very like big season, a big growing season, and I feel like the Lord really has seen the way that you've stewarded your life, and I feel like there's just this reverence that the Lord has for you and for your faithfulness. And it feels like you have just been so faithful in the tiniest moments. You've been so steady and so consistent. And I feel like there's this thing about like, where he's like, yes, I can trust you. Let's go for it. You have been so consistent in every moment. And I feel like this is a real season of you stepping into things that you've always wanted, dreams that you've always had. I feel like this is a season where it's like, go for it. The things that you have in your heart, like, go for it. He's going to provide the finances. He's going to back you up. He's going to provide the right people to support you. Yeah, so I just want to speak blessings over your life, Glenn, that this season is going to be significant for you, that it's actually a time to run, not a time to stop. And I just speak sons and daughters under you and the new sound of heaven, that God is bringing creativity to be a significant, significant reach in your life. Yeah, we bless you. Oh, hi. What's your name? Katie. Okay, Katie. So good. So as you were singing up here, I started seeing like all of this really interesting stuff like around your head, and I felt like there's a lot of angelic around you too. And I think that it's like what's going on, and it's so interesting that you guys are in a theater. I love that, because I feel like there's a really significant like anointing of creativity, and I felt like I just saw it land on you in a really powerful way. And I feel like that you actually are going to do something very significant with creativity and with arts, and I feel like God is actually right now opening doors for you. I feel like I just saw you like going for it. Like, I feel like there is, I feel like you actually are a very multifaceted person. Like, you have a lot of different talents in different places. And I feel like the Lord is actually like, it kind of feels like everything you touch is gold. Like, you do this and you do it well, and you do this and you do it well, and you also do this well. And I feel like in this next season that God is actually going to start, like bringing all those things to a significant increase. And I think that you're going to have a lot of outlet for creativity too. I don't know. Do you write music yet? Not yet. Okay. I feel like that's something that's going to really start happening in your life. And I saw something like land on you too. I feel like it's a gift of boldness about creativity. I felt like the Lord said that like this boldness is about to come over you in your next season for creativity. I feel like this is like, he's like asking you to come forward into it, because I feel like there's something very, very significant on your life with creativity. I feel like there are songs that are just going to flow out of you, and that there's like these new sounds and this vision and this like, just this giant like new thing that's about to start happening. And I feel like you're going to be leading people in creativity too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if someday you taught classes and you like helped people like learn what it looks like to walk in creativity. And I feel like you remind me of Esther a lot, and I think that the Lord is actually often going to put you in secular creative environments, and that you're going to release the kingdom in those environments. I think that the Lord is actually like setting a foundation in you this season, so that when you're in those places that you can always go back, and that you're so firm and you're so steady. I feel like he has like this special protection around you, where you can go in those like super interesting environments and you can be so founded and so stable in who you are. But I felt like the Lord today just wanted you to know that there is something very, very significant about your life, and that he's already working on opening doors for you, that he's so invested in your purpose, that even now and from the beginning of your life, he has been investing in where you're going. So I just want to bless you with the gift of creativity. I bless where I see God's hand on your life, and I just speak a significant increase and a gift of leadership and boldness on you. Yeah.
I love that. And I'll just tag on to that, because during worship, I just kept hearing the Father speaking over you. And so he's really highlighting you in this season and wanting you to know just how much he believes in you and how much he loves you. I heard boldness over you as well, and Esther. So, yep. So just confirming that. And yeah, I really just resonating with promotion, believe there's such influence and leadership over your life, and that God's beginning a season of promotion right now. I saw you sitting at a table and he kept moving you. He was like bumping you up the seats. And so he's bringing you, he's taking you up and promoting you into a place of honor and influence. And yeah, so second, everything Ash said. And then I also just heard over you like fun and adventure. And I saw you traveling to Europe, and I specifically saw Italy and Thailand, like in Asia. So I don't know if travel's been something that you've been dreaming about, but I really believe it's something that's on your life, and that you just get to have fun with God, and he's going to open up things that are beyond your wildest dreams and experiences that are just going to form and mold you in such incredible ways. So we just bless you with this season of excitement and fun and adventure with the Holy Spirit, as he just takes you further into who he's created you to be. It's exciting.
Thank you, guys.
I want to add to that. It's Katie, because you really were highlighted this morning. I don't know how old you are. This may be too old of a movie, but have you ever watched Sister Act? If you haven't, you need to watch it. Whoopi Goldberg becomes the choir director of a bunch of nuns, and the lady with the best voice was also the quietest, and she couldn't hear her. And so at one point, she walked up and she placed her hand on her voice and said, "Let it come from here." And it just, this beautiful sound came out. And I saw the Holy Spirit come up and touch you and say, "Give my spirit a voice. You're anointed. Let it rip, girl." Because it affects atmospheres. And so, yeah, just believe in yourself like never before. So thanks for you and Kathy too. And I'm kind of struggling because I my heart is just so connected right now. This is why I like to co-preach with my husband, because when I lose it, there's someone else who can take over. I just feel the heart of God for this place. Your word, Phil, about what it means when he kept asking him, "Do you love me?" I have never heard a better explanation for that scripture in my life. It's like, yes. That's exactly it. We don't even realize how much doubt we have. We keep trying to use our experience and our actions to prove we don't really love him. Why aren't we using the things that we do right to prove we do? Our deepest belief systems are what we're always trying to believe to prove. So if you don't really believe you love him, you'll be constantly trying to find proof that you don't. It's kind of like if you think you're a failure, you're always looking for proof that you're a failure. You don't even notice that you succeed so much more than you fail. But you don't, you know, we need to start using the good in our life to prove what God is saying. We're not supposed to prove what the enemy is saying. And so much of it is about focus. And this morning when I was just praying, I felt like God said, we need to go back to the cross. Because he said, I felt like he said, no one has actually finished what they're supposed to do when they're kneeling at the cross. We know how to go to the cross and get forgiveness. But how many of us, when we stood up, received anything? The cross is an exchange. We're not supposed to go and just get forgiveness. We're supposed to lay who we are. We're supposed to lay down our sin and pick up his life. Pick up his glory. There's so many places in Scripture where Jesus refers to the fact that, Father, the same glory you gave me, I've given them. The problem is we're not receiving. We're not done at the foot of the cross until we actually believe we are a new creation. We're not supposed to lay stuff at the cross and then go back to our old life. I had this picture where I said, instead of putting all the sin down at the cross and turning around, go through the cross into a new reality. We're not supposed to go back into the kingdom of darkness. We go through the cross into the kingdom of light. And we are light. I heard a phrase once that said that people may rise above their level of beliefs or go below their level of their beliefs, but they will always return to the level that they believe they are. If you want a different life, you need a different belief system. Can you believe that you not only had your sin taken, but you were giving something that resides within you that is so powerful? We're afraid of being powerful. We're still, you know, just so passive and waiting for Jesus to do something. When Scripture says that it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It's not out there, it's in here. The kingdom of God is in you. And we keep waiting for God to do something. And we're supposed to express something. We have to be so convinced that what we carry is so powerful that when we walk into the room, everything changes. Sickness bows its knee. Depression leaves. Who do you think you are? How much time, you know, I think that unconsciously Christians spend probably 85% of their life trying to fix things in themselves. When the real battle isn't in changing what you're doing. The real battle is in changing what you believe. Can you believe? Can you go through the cross and come out the other side as a resurrected being, full of light and life? I'm going to read a scripture before I forget. And this is from the Message translation, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. This is a really interesting translation. It says, so, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. He doesn't want you to show up as the real you when you die. He wants you to show up as the glorious you now. But that means you have to stop defining yourself by your past. If we really believed we've been crucified with Christ, then we have to believe we've been resurrected with him too. And the New King James Version in that Colossians thing, set your mind on things above. Philippians 4:8, you're all familiar about, think on these things. It's all about focus. It's all about focus. Because whatever you focus on, you empower. If you focus on your sin, you will empower your sin. If you focus on what's wrong with you, you will empower what's wrong with you. It's time to focus on what you gained through the cross. If we want to see it manifest, we have to start focusing on it, believing in it, expecting it, just like Phil's son was expecting money. I remember a really close friend of mine who, very, very prophetic, and, you know, I always kind of made fun of prophetic people that thought God was talking to them all the time, you know, whatever the clock said, you know, or whatever, and, but I mean, she literally always thought God was talking to her through things on the earth. She would see a dime on the ground, and she goes, oh, look, what are you saying, God? And I'm like, it's a dime. He's not saying anything. But she would hear from God. And he would tell her mysteries through, because she actually asked questions expecting God to talk to her. What a concept. Maybe we don't hear because we don't expect that we can hear. I believe anything that catches your eye, if you ask God something about it, he'll make something up if he has to. Because he's like, oh, look, they expect me to talk. What are you focusing on? I want to hear his voice. I want to believe that there's something in me that responds and resonates with him. You know, okay, God's just been talking to me a lot about resonance and just vibration. And you know how God likes to use the natural things of this earth to describe what goes on in the unseen realm. And he was talking to me about the fact that when there was a guy who, he was a clock maker and he worked on clocks. I have a hard time saying the word clock because because I used to be a receptionist and somebody from the South called and said, my name is Clock. And I'm like, C-L-O-C-K? He goes, no, Clock. And I'm like, that's how I spell clock? And he goes, no, Clock. C-L-A-R-K, Clark. So now when I say clock, it's all right. You didn't need to know that. I'm just, my brain runs in weird directions. Anyway, this clockmaker noticed he would set all of the clocks to the exact same time. But they didn't beat at the same time. Because they can't, because he's setting them one at a time, so they're all off. But by the end of the day, they would all be beating exactly the same. He couldn't figure out why. And it was the one with the greatest tone that would determine the rest. And even, you know, I hope I don't offend anybody, but it's a well-known fact, too, that if a bunch of women start living together, their menstrual cycles all start landing on the same day. Because there's something about the vibration of life that whoever has the strongest sense of being actually determines the beat for everybody else. They had an experiment where they took people and they gave them these forms to fill out because they were trying to figure out who had the biggest emotional agitation or good feelings, you know, who felt really happy or joyful, who felt really depressed. And then they also found the people who just, they were neutral. They didn't have any, you know, great highs or lows. You know, it was just one of those days. I'm just here. And so they took all the neutral people, put them in a room, and then they took a person who was either really high or really low and put them in the same room, and they told them, you're not allowed to talk, just sit here and wait for the next test. And so I don't know how many hours they sat in there waiting, but when they retook the test, all of them, the emotion that the emotional person had been feeling, that emotion showed up on everybody's test. Because without even speaking, the person with the most emotional stuff going on influenced everybody. I'm going somewhere with this. Do you know why we worship? Because God's life and love and peace is so powerful that when we're in it, we begin to vibrate with who He is. We get refocused because He's trying, you know, like a tuning fork. You can hit a tuning fork and then just bring another one and just set it next to it, and it will eventually begin to vibrate. We need to be so in His presence that we actually begin, you know, for lack of better words, to vibrate with the life of heaven. I felt like God told me that when we are in complete peace, it actually opens our body up for the kingdom of light to have influence. It's like certain vibrations draw in light, where the opposite, like strife and anger and fear, actually closes us off from that realm and draws the vibration of negative stuff towards us. It's all about focus, because focus actually does something to our whole body, to what we begin to draw. That's why negative people, they think that they're negative because bad things keep happening. And yes, something bad may have happened, but because they continued to focus on it, it actually drew more. like the little finger. It's being healed. Wow. I mean, what do we have to lose by changing our focus to think on these things, to set our eyes on the things above? What if, you know, the whole vibration thing, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's all about vibration. I'm just using that as an example of why he wants us to set our eyes on the right thing. You know, when we go to the cross, a lot of times we don't realize that faith is visionary. So whatever you're envisioning for your future, it means you have faith for it. But most of us don't even, we're not even conscious of what we're envisioning. But do we actually on purpose have faith for the divine nature? It's time to stop thinking of ourselves as mere men. You know, when Steve and I pastored in Weaverville in, I think it was early 2000, we started what we called Mediocres Anonymous. Because we had a lot of self-help groups that we were allowing them to use our facilities, you know, AA and all of this. And one day my husband and I were like, how come all these groups, all they do is take you from crisis to average? And we're like, that's not what, I don't want my church to be crisis to average. So we decided, we just put it out there. We said we're having a Mediocres Anonymous group starting. And I felt like God wanted me to read you what we looked into AA to see exactly what they were doing. And so I created our own little thing. And so this is what I came up with. Believing that we who have believed in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior are born again and literally new creatures in Christ, we establish new core values that are fitting to our new life. We are convinced that behaving as mere men when we are partakers of a divine nature is no longer acceptable. Can I read that again? We are convinced that behaving as mere men when we are partakers of a divine nature is no longer acceptable. We need to just write that on our mirrors. It is no longer acceptable to behave like a mere man or a human. To stop expecting that I can only do what a human does. We will determine to pursue a life free from mediocrity or average. This is what makes the Christian life exciting. To be who we really are. We purpose to never again use guilt, anger, or manipulation as a motivational tool for ourselves or others. But we will strive to use encouragement, love, God encounters, inspiration to inspire our passions for God's kingdom. We will mainly focus on the new behaviors and beliefs that we wish to see manifested rather than what is wrong with us. And here's four steps. Number one, we will accept that we will always be in process and not expect perfection. I think this is what stops people from trying to live a resurrected life. They think it will happen automatically. If I'm powerful, then why aren't I powerful? But God's the one who created process. I mean, when babies are born, they don't come out walking and talking. It doesn't mean they're less of a human. It just means there's a process to build muscle and understand how a baby is supposed to, you know, grow. And we need to give ourselves that same permission. The next is make a decision to actively pursue the manifestation of his divine nature. And I don't really mean pursue it as if it's out there. I mean to pursue to let it out. That's what babies do. They're not asking mom and dad, make me walk. They're watching mom and dad. They're focusing on it. But they actually have to do it. They have to stand. Yes, they hold on to daddy's hand as they're learning. But they're the ones doing it. Because it's Christ in us. We keep trying to get the kingdom out there here, but the kingdom's in here. You, with your voice, begin to release it. By the actions you take, the declarations you make. Three step, allow ourselves to dream of what a life without limitations would look like. In other words, what would life look like if you really weren't human? You know, that whole question of if we really believe that we're all a new creation, nobody seems to be asking what a new creation looks like. What are we? What are we capable of? What are you dreaming of? What would a life that really looks like Christ look like? How do we let it out? How do we get the limitations of this natural world off of us? You know, I have this thing where one day I was thinking about, have you ever noticed that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and death was one of the results of sin, and yet people still lived to be hundreds of years old. And then they gradually started living less and less. The day of dying got sooner and sooner. And I'm thinking, why is that? Did God just decide, oh, we'll still let these guys live for 700 or 800 years? Do you know what I think? I think when death entered, the people didn't have a lot of faith for death because they didn't understand what death looked like. So they lived longer. Can you imagine a race that did not know what death looked like? In their mind, we are so used to the fact that everything wears out and disintegrates and rusts and corrodes. We're used to the effects not only of death on the body, but on the earth, the planet. Everything erodes and dies. And we've been so caught up in that realm that we haven't realized we don't really believe in the power of life. God doesn't wear out. He's a God of increase. And when his kingdom lives in us, and when we start portraying the true kingdom, everybody should start living longer. And as we release the earth from the sin that has put it in bondage to decay, the earth should start increasing rather than decreasing. I don't know. I'm just dreaming. What if? What if? I mean, I say this a lot to you guys, but I feel like what? I just want to get us as a people to start having more faith in life than death. And the Old Testament, you weren't allowed to touch a dead person because it would, you know, make you unclean. If you touch someone with leprosy, you became unclean. When Jesus comes, he sets a whole new reality where he touches a dead person and he doesn't get unclean. The dead person raises to life. He touches a leper and he doesn't get leprosy. The person is free. We are not reading the Bible correctly until it changes our view of reality. Until we actually have more faith in the power of light than we do in the power of darkness. Till we have more faith in life than death. We have empowered death with our belief systems. And even if to be honest, I still have a hard time believing, oh, but does that mean that we don't really have to die? That can't be. Why can't that be? Maybe because nobody can believe for it. What if we had a people that were so enthralled with the power of life that it began to affect death? What are we going after? I don't want to just change circumstances. I want to change me so that when I walk into a room, circumstances have to change. Your burden is easy. It's light because it's not what you do, it's who you are. Can I say that again? Your burden is easy and light because it's not what you do, it's who you are. God never requires us to do something that we're not. Right? The only reason he can require holiness from you is because he knows your real nature. He's not requiring sinners to be holy. He's requiring the new creation to be holy. But we don't believe who we are. We think we have to do it before we are it. What if we had so much faith and the holiness and the glory that God put in us, that it just started happening? What if every time we sinned, instead of using that as more proof, I'm not a new creation, why are you trying to prove you're not a new creation? Why aren't you trying to prove you are? Why aren't you trying to prove what God says? My finger, I can move it. This is proof. Can you imagine your life without limitations? Spend some time there. Besides it being, you know, what we're supposed to do, it actually is more fun. Most of you here know my story about just being so shy and convinced I could never speak in public, and because I didn't even want anyone to look at me, let alone get on stage and have someone look at me. But everything changed when I decided I'm going to come into agreement with what God's saying. I'm not done. I am so far from where I want to be. But it's a process. You listen first for the Holy Spirit to say, you know, because when a baby is learning, he doesn't learn to run before he's learned to walk. So find out where God wants you to start. What part of this new creation does he want you to believe for? It may be as simple as that you're full of life. You're holy. You're righteous. I read once that that we should never label our soul and body as evil. Sometimes we think our spirit man, you know, it's with God. It's one with Christ, you know, my spirit and his spirit. Now if I could just get this stupid body and soul to, you know, line up. And what I read was that when we consider our physical body and our soul the enemy, it will produce rebellion. Instead, we need to release the Holy Spirit from within so that it transforms and permeates. You are not the enemy. Your thoughts are. We need to go from intellectualizing God's word to being impregnated by it. The word of God is a seed, and every seed in the natural carries within it the potential to produce something bigger than it is. We have great faith for seeds. I see people planting them all the time. They expect something out of that to produce something. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. What if we believed the word of God actually carried within it the potential to produce something in you and through you? What if the word isn't just to tell you how you're not measuring up? What if the word actually can change you? What if it carries within it this potential to create something bigger? What if focus and what we meditate on and think about? Because I remember reading once that in the Old Testament, the word imagination in the Hebrew actually means a framework or the womb of something. Which is why the enemy is constantly trying to get you to imagine what he's saying. You're not going to have enough money this month. Expect lack. What are you going to do? Start imagining what you're going to do with your lack. Oh, they want you to pray for the sick. Start imagining what you're going to do when nothing happens. Because he knows if he can plant his word in your womb of your imagination, you will attach faith to it. What if through peace we began to believe that just speaking the word of God over me produced something? What if speaking the word of God over someone else could produce something? What if it was a real seed? What if in the unseen realm there's substance to things like the word of God? We have to stop thinking of Christianity as suppression. I've just got to suppress these natural urges. Christianity isn't about suppression. It's about pursuing. Not pursuing back here, but pursuing who God says we are. How do I let that out? If that's me, then what do I need to do to let it out? And the more I'm convinced it's me, like when God told me that I was an author, and he said, even if you die before you've written a book, in heaven you'll be known as an author. He said, because your identity doesn't come from what you did. Your identity comes from what I created you to do. When he said that, I remember thinking, oh, well, how hard can it be to write a book if I was created to write books? The things that God's telling you, he's only requiring you to do it. It's because that's what you were created to do. You were created to heal the sick and raise the dead, to set captives free. When Jesus started his ministry, he quoted Isaiah 61. I'm anointed to preach good news. I'm anointed to set captives free, to proclaim liberty, to bring, you know, the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. And then he says, this has been fulfilled, which is crazy because it hasn't yet. He actually said he'd already fulfilled it. And if you really want to get crazy, I don't know if you've noticed, I think, is it Isaiah 53 that talks about, you know, he was bruised for our transgression. And if you look up that scripture, the whole scripture is in past tense. He was bruised. I'm like, excuse me? This hasn't happened yet. How many of you prophesy in past tense? Nobody came up to me and said, oh, your books have changed the world. I haven't written any books yet. God isn't in time. That's one of our limitations. And even though I believe in process, sometimes we keep putting the promises of God so far off because we think we're in process of earning it. The process isn't to earn it. The process is to learn how to do it and be it. Becoming so focused on this is what I'm created to do. I can do this. You're created to change your city. Start speaking up. Give the spirit within you a voice. Start taking over the atmosphere. You know, when I feel a negative atmosphere in a church service, I'm not asking God to change it. I'm releasing the glory that he's given me to change it. Instead of focusing on what the enemy is doing out here, I start focusing on who I am. And as I do, it gets bigger and has more influence. Instead of focusing on the terrible atmosphere at work, I stop focusing on that and I start focusing on what I carry. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's just where is my focus and what do I have the most faith for? Their darkness or my light? And just because it doesn't happen immediately doesn't mean we need to say, oh, well, maybe I'm just not powerful. Stop using failure to determine your truth. Stop using failure to determine your truth. Truth is truth. And the more I focus on it and make a demand on it, the more power it carries. And he's calling his body to rise up in truth. to actually believe. There's another quote I wanted to do here, if I can find it. All right. And I'm sorry, I can't remember where I got this quote. I went through a season in my life where God just kept bringing me quotes that would just rock my brain. It was like, oh, okay, now it's inside out. What do I do with this? And I didn't always write down who said it because I didn't know I'd actually be preaching it. You know, it was just something that ministered to me. But here's the quote. Nothing splendid has ever been achieved except by those who dared believe that something inside of them was superior to their circumstance.